From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Microsoft and inside Windows. We've got Gov on the show here once again. He's been on a few times, and many of you may know him from another show called The Defrag Show.
The Genesis.
Yeah, which actually was the parent of our show, as it were. Good to have Gov here. We're actually kind of, your Defrag show hasn't had any new episodes for a little while, right? So we're kind of bringing you over to this side of the fold. Maybe we'll kind of merge forces.
Yeah, there's, some good synergy that can be accomplished here. Defrag show, there was just some issues that we need to work through.
Very diplomatic.
The major ethos difference was Defrag's show was very question and answer, 5-10 topics per show, and lots of different concepts, where we've always done like one concept per show.
Kind of deep dive.
And we'll there's synergy there, right? There's questions that we can join together and talk about collectively, and that's really what we'll go to in the future is... Yeah. The type of synergy. So what's the email addresses? You know them?
I know them. So there's two email addresses, and I guess you can use either defragtools@microsoft.com or defragshow@microsoft.com. Send us your questions, and we'll try and get them answered. Yeah. We're looking to do more of that. So thanks for being on, Gov. And we're going to be talking about some upgrade stuff today, which is a topic near and dear to my heart, because I work with... with partners all the time who are struggling with this stuff. So,
yeah, I mean the nice thing about what I'd like to cover today is that it applies to not just IT pros. It applies to the home user. It applies to anybody that is just having some upgrade issues or just want to get a better understanding of what's going on during upgrade. Mm-hmm.
You're using the word upgrade. So this includes Windows Update. Is it really just big OS flights? What terminology are you using here?
Oh, that's a really good question. I cover it all, or at least I care about it all. So from the individual updates that occur on a monthly basis, the actual full feature upgrades that occur every 6 months, they all basically travel through the same pipe. It's all Windows Update. Mm-hmm. The major difference is, of course, the smaller updates, the monthly updates, what we like to call LCUs, latest cumulative update, just uses a portion of the stack, the update stack, in order to pull down updates and apply them. Mm-hmm. Causes a reboot most of the time, sometimes not. The full feature update is just a much larger update that comes down through Windows Update and gets transferred to a different executor, essentially. And then it basically does the same thing that we've all done before when we had ISO or media. You'd run setup and you'd choose upgrade, and it would just do that behind the scenes.
Right.
Now, if we go back years and years and years when you put that CD in, that was a multi-hour experience, right?
Right.
And we've done a huge amount of work to bring that time down and down and down. We're down to minutes or something now, right?
It depends how fast your drive is.
Oddly enough, interesting that you brought that up. Yeah. Just last night, I did an upgrade to 1803 on an Atom PC.
Wow.
The Surface 3.
Low-end processor,
eMMC memory. Mm. But it's the Surface 3. It's like the best Atom laptop mm-hmm. that you can get, mm-hmm. right? Or at least at the time, it's still pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. And EMC is not the fastest hard drive type, right?
No,
SSD speed.
It's not an SSD. It is the slower form, but it is much, much lower power and lower cost.
Yeah.
And just from the time of the reboot, so everything has actually been installed in the background. If you go to the settings,
it will say reboot.
Reboot now. So the update and security page under settings. See, clearly this machine is pending updates. So I had already downloaded it. It had done everything. The only thing left to do was to reboot the system. Mm. Rebooting the system took 2 hours.
Ooh. Wow.
On an Atom machine. Wow. And this is not the normal case for non-Atom PCs. Mm. You know, if you do it on a Core i3, i5, i7, on a true SSD, even a spinning drive with a Core i5, i3, i7, it would never take
that long.
that long at all. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have some performance issues that need to be worked out, because, you know, the ultimate goal is to have the feature upgrade as seamless and as painless and as fast as a regular monthly update.
Just like, a monthly update.
You know, on this machine, for example, when I upgraded it to 1803, it took under 20 minutes.
Right.
It's
fast SSD.
It's fast SSD. Processor. This is the Surface Pro 4, the original Surface Pro 4.
Right.
Yeah, I know that my big behemoth desktop would do it in just a couple of minutes, which is all SSD-based, huge amount of RAM.
Mine takes longer, but I just got an SSD, which I need to install to replace the old HDD, and that will make it much
that's
nicer.
Better.
It's definitely something I'd like to see us keep working on that. I know we get a lot of feedback from partners and customers that needs to be faster and more seamless on a range of hardware, not just high-end.
Not just the high-end hardware.
And I think you got to remember, it's doing a huge amount of work here. I mean, it's not one of those things that's just going to be, this should be 1 second. No. Yeah. You are trying to move gigabytes and gigabytes of data around and reconfigure things, right? It's not a small task. It's quite impressive, the scale of it, actually.
Yeah. What's funny is oftentimes I'll get the question that, you know, Windows, the upgrade has uninstalled an application, right? And, you know, this is gone. Why did Microsoft uninstall an app? Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the upgrade doesn't uninstall anything. The upgrade, it's at its most basic concept, is you take the OS, you lay it down as is on the hard drive, and you simply point portions of the old OS or your old environment to the new OS, and that's it. Mm-hmm. If something isn't there, it means that it didn't get repointed. Mm-hmm. It is still there in the original OS, which is why we can do rollback so easily.
Right.
We simply repoint it back to the old OS, change the boot entry, and boom, you're right back up again.
So has the application itself done something wrong in not having that transferability? Or?
Actually, yes. There's oftentimes what'll happen during the migration process is we have to go and scan essentially the entire drive in order to figure out, okay, what is the OS and what is not the OS? Mm-hmm. Because in our standard model is that when you lay down the new OS, we don't migrate anything from the old OS because you have an entirely new OS there. If you did no migration whatsoever, you'd just be able to boot up and it would be a clean install of Windows. What we're saying is that, yes, you're booting up a new install of Windows, but we're going to take parts of the old OS or your old environment and inject it in to make it a merged view, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens during a regular software install. So you clean install a machine, you install software, it has merged itself into the view of the operating system. Mm-hmm. So when things don't move over properly, it means that the application, the driver, the file, the registry entry, whatever, was either put into a place that was deemed to be OS.
Kind of like volatile, you might say, might be the word for it.
Yeah, that's another way to put it. It was injected in a way that was not an extension point or not a documented extension point of the OS. So when we look at it, we go, we're not moving that over because it looks like OS.
Doesn't look like an app.
It doesn't look like an app, exactly.
Right.
So it's not even so much a choice that we make. It's this was OS, and we simply don't migrate anything that is OS.
This folder is OS.
So in cases like that, people should maybe contact the app developer and say, hey, this doesn't seem to be up, making the transition to the new OS. Can you?
I've especially found it funny when I've gotten those types of questions where it's like, it didn't survive the upgrade from 7 to 8. It didn't survive the upgrade from 8 to 10. It didn't survive the upgrade from any intra-10 upgrades. It's like, yeah. It's highly, highly unlikely that it would ever survive an upgrade because we have clearly said it is doing something that makes it look like OS and we don't migrate OS. We have to take additional override steps in order to say, oh, okay, you are doing something that makes it look like OS. We are going to override our own logic and special case you and say, okay, we will still migrate. We will assume that you're not OS through our base rules, and then we'll go look at it and say, okay, you're really an app, and we'll move you over.
So if you've got an example of maybe a mistake, like my guess is something like I make foo.exe, and I just put it in with system32 folder. Is that an example like that?
That is an absolute example like that. Another case would be if you simply write a driver and then the corresponding services key, and that's it. That's how you install the driver, and you are unlikely
to. So you'll boot.
You'll boot.
There's no registration of you though, right?
Yes. There's no INF file.
No INF.
Yeah. Right. And if you don't have an INF file, then the system goes, we don't know about you because we take
we have
the
no
new
info.
We have no info, right?
We look through the INF files.
Because we can't simply go, yeah. Okay, lay down the new OS and enumerate all the services key and just copy them over. We can't do that, yeah. Right? We can't just say, well, copy the ones that weren't there before because maybe that's actually not correct. We have to go from a source of truth, yeah. And that source of truth is the driver being installed into the driver store along right. with the INF. And then we can go look at the driver store and say, okay, what is it that we actually need to move over? There are the documented extension points, the documented ways of installing things, and we will properly move those over because we're designed to move those over.
Yeah. Does the sysinternals auto runs list of auto runs points, does that kind of relate to what you're talking about as known extension points?
Absolutely. The auto runs will cover, you know, the stuff that is designed to automatically run, obviously, but it doesn't necessarily track all registry keys that are not extension points.
And right? I think Mark has more extension points that are officially supported too, mm-hmm. right? So there's, but it's a good way of knowing, hey, there's some evidence of it existing. Mm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Like it would be the difference of, you know, installing an application and properly registering a COM class ID versus, you know, registering a proxy ID and taking over an inbox COM component, right? That would not be a recognized documented extension because you're taking over what the OS provides. Mm. And that would not be migrated over.
Are there cases where we may accidentally even clean up malware or something by not migrating it over? It just sort of hit me because they wouldn't probably install through the normal documented ways, right?
They wouldn't install through the normal documented ways. Depends on the type of malware,
yeah,
of course. That's
it's probably
the system.
Hit or miss. Maybe there's cases where that might.
We have not.
It's not
purposefully
the intent.
Designed the right. upgrade to that's, get rid of malware. We rely on the antivirus Defender. And Defender in order yeah. to do that.
Sure.
And also just not letting them get on the box in the first place.
Right, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
So what's the general approach to troubleshooting these type of things? I mean, we'll probably split this into two episodes and have a deep dive, but what's the basic approach? I mean, I saw that if we go back to the setup page, which I think maybe you closed, the control panel upgrade page, I noticed that there's an error code there right now. Is that really a good place to start? And we can actually look, we talked about hresults last episode, and there's a great hresult right there, 8024-8007, right at the top there. So
right.
I know that we documented the facilities last week, so maybe we jump to that, and let's find out what 24 is. And just do a search for 24.
Yep, yeah. That's the Windows update.
Facilities.
Facility code.
So that's not really unsurprising. We're in Windows Update, and we
exactly.
see a Windows Update error code.
Mm-hmm.
Is this type of thing that is publicly documented very well, or is it something that you can just go look up?
Usually, just by the whole error code, you can search them up. They are not necessarily always the best documented, but there is a page here that I have that will go through the actual error codes. Now, these ones are specific to upgrade, not update.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you can explain the difference there.
So because Windows Update is the transport mechanism for pulling down all of the updates, for anything that is non-upgrade related, think of it in terms of stages. So when you do a Windows Update, you'll pull down a payload, you'll execute it, CBS or what have you will do the rest of the install.
And CBS stands for?
The component-based servicing.
Okay.
That's the overarching technology around servicing OS components.
And this is where things like the background intelligent transfer services used to help you get the files and the peer-to-peer networking is used to get it locally and all that type of stuff. So we're talking about more about the download and
acquiring
the acquiring.
Right. There's the acquiring, and then there's the, well, if you look at it from the very beginning, it's the scan phase. So you have to figure out, is an update available for me at all? Mm-hmm. Then there's the download phase, and then there's the install phase. And in each of those phases, that is still talking about Windows Update, that portion of the stack.
Okay. And when an individual machine talks to Windows Update, it is orchestrating an update strategy for that machine purely, correct?
Correct.
It's not like we say, hey, everybody in the world, here's this driver. No, right. We say, based on the evidence you've provided, this is the appropriate things for you. We know that you have, and I think it was Defender then, we know you have Defender installed, so we will offer you Defender updates. But if you don't have Defender installed, which I don't know how you would do that, but we wouldn't offer them, right?
Yeah, or you're only going to get drivers that for hardware that exists on your machine, right?
And this also kind of works for the OS install itself, right? So we know that this chassis has had enough testing and a success rate, that's a rate of success that's acceptable. And then we offer you the big updates, right? And that's how you get this slow progression. And you can jump the bar and say force an update.
Yeah,
but that's a slightly different thing, but
you're running
your own risk if you do that.
For the big updates, right? We use actually now machine learning. So we have some AI on the back end that monitors success rates when people get a new full Windows OS upgrade. And we know, hey, we've done a small percentage of systems of this class, of this model. We know they seem to work well. We'll start doing a little bit more. And so that's why a lot of people will ask us, like, hey, you know, the new Windows 18.03 is out. Why don't I get it? Well, you'll get it eventually, but we don't just do everybody at once, right? But if you want it, you can go click check for updates, and you'll get it.
You'll jump the queue.
Yeah. You'll jump the queue. We do have, of course, mechanisms in place that if we know beforehand that an upgrade is going to cause you harm, a data loss, blue screen, unrecoverability, like you can't even go back, we will prevent you from getting the upgrade in that case. And there's two mechanisms for doing so. There's the mechanism of you can click for updates as much as you like, and that still will not be offered to you.
Right.
That's in the case where, you know, there is a lot of information that says, we cannot give this to you until there's a proper fix.
So that kind of like the feature update, until you get a Windows update that fixes that issue, that will flush through, will make sure it's resident, and then...
Yeah.
Then it will open your eyes.
And we'll unblock those systems.
Or whatever the root cause is for having that block, we will remove it, and then you'll be able to download it. That's the first phase. Now, of course, that only helps users that are getting their updates through Windows Update.
Okay.
It doesn't help anybody that is getting it from ISO or from Media or the...
Through physicalness.
Yes.
Through physical.
Through physical. We have a second stage of blocks for that where we will prevent upgrade or install when there's particular characteristics of the machine that show it. And in those cases, you may or may not be able to get past it. There are certain blocks that are we have in those cases that there's nothing a user could do. Like they would have to buy an entirely new machine in order to get upgraded, or they would have to get a new CPU if they didn't have the particular instruction set.
The minimum requirements.
The minimum requirements.
Yeah. Mm. Cool. So that's kind of the phase of being told what to do, and then that's the CBS. You said orchestrates that.
No, that's at a much higher level than CBS. CBS will get involved at the actual time of needing to be serviced.
Okay. So then, what's the next phase? So then, it transitions into this other phase.
So the setup phase is different from the CBS phase because CBS isn't invoked when you're doing a full feature upgrade. Mm-hmm. What happens there is that Windows Update will say, "Oh, there's a feature update. I'm a different class." It's kind of like the difference between Defender updates and driver updates. Mm. There's a different class. There's the feature update. And in that case, what will happen is it simply brings down the entire ESD, think of it as an ISO, and it will hand off to the setup and it'll just say, go and execute. Here's your payload, go and execute.
Go forth.
And then it is ultimately no different, very little different, than what you'd see interactively if you used media. You choose the upgrade scenario. There's a bunch of command line options that can be used. And we will do much of the upgrade in the background while you're still using your machine.
So a very poor analogy would be, I'm just running a setup to XE like I used to do from years ago, and that's...
You just can't see it.
You just can't see it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, and even when you run setup at .exe, there's a whole lot of stuff that happens before that first reboot, right?
Right.
So that's essentially
checking for
running.
Updates, checking for blocks.
That's essentially running in the background.
Yep.
And then eventually you'll get a pop-up saying you need to reboot or...
Correct. Yeah. You'll get the notification that says, you know, feature update has been installed. Please reboot now or schedule a reboot. And then it'll go through and, you know, assuming you're not on an Atom PC, it should take, you know, minutes in order to get you back up and running in the next OS.
Is there any policy around whether you've got power plugged in or not? And
absolutely.
Stuff like that?
You know, we don't want to schedule that if you're on DC, if you're on battery. Mm-hmm. We also don't do, we don't pull down the upgrade if you're on a metered network, mm-hmm. for example. So there's lots of things that we will do to ensure that, you know, it's a good time, that you're not going to be overly impacted.
And I assume it doesn't happen when, like, the lid's closed and it's in sleep.
Correct.
Yeah, so you don't get those thermal problems.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ensured that we would not incur, like, the hot bag scenario. Mm-hmm. And like I say, the big one is, you know, if you're on DC power, we're going to say you're just not ready to do it. Mm-hmm. We will attempt to inform if you're on a machine that's extremely old that hasn't been getting updates for a very long time. We'll attempt to inform you, hey, you need to be on AC in order to get the upgrade, and you know, in order to facilitate and push users into continuing along with it, because we obviously don't want people to be insecure by lagging behind the upgrades. Mm. It's very important that your machine upgrades in order to keep up to date, because if you're not being serviced, then you are lacking in security.
Yeah, I think the security thing is the key. I mean,
it
as
is
much as you want
fundamentally
to,
the only.
If you want to ignore the fact that you haven't got a new feature, that's fine, right? But when it comes down to it, being safe is the number one priority on a machine. There's so much at risk. Your personal information is so valuable. It's definitely important to do. So after the setups come through, is there any last phase after you've kind of come up and the new OS is live? Is there how's this whole story end?
So it's usually what we call UBI, the out of box experience. Now, typically for Windows 10 to Windows 10 upgrades, this is a very fast thing. It will take, you know, about a minute to do some final initialization of your user, because, you know, your user has been migrated from the previous OS. It may have some minor changes in your user profile in order to make sure that the per user settings, registry keys have been set up correctly. Any state that needed to be migrated that can only happen under your user account has actually occurred on the other side. Mm-hmm. But it's usually just a very small...
yeah, it's a minute or so, yeah.
Is this the same, essentially the same UBI technology that you, UBI executable that you run through when you get your machine in the first place?
Yep.
It's just sort of an abbreviated script, right?
It's abbreviated because most of that stuff has already been done,
sure.
But, you know, when you first set up your machine.
Right.
It's just a bunch of settings that says, what type of upgrade have we done? You know, this is a build-to-build upgrade, and so we don't need to go through the entire thing of like setting up Cortana or you know, picking your wireless network, because all of that is already done.
Yeah.
I know a couple of releases ago we re-prompted the privacy screen because we changed our policy, and so that was the one screen that came up.
Yep.
Even though wireless and all these other things had been answered, this had to get re-answered.
So because we take privacy extremely seriously.
Extremely.
Yeah. Yes,
especially just done three courses on it. Extremely.
Yeah, well, that whole GDPR regulation.
It's actually kind of funny. Security and privacy would have to be neck and neck in terms of the priorities of the company.
Oh, yeah. Without doubt.
Right? Like there really is nothing else.
It doesn't get any higher than that. If one of those two things lands on your desk, you are doing nothing else.
Exactly.
Until one of those two things is finished.
I try to tell people this. Like, people worry about security and Microsoft and all these corporate, and I'm like, man, Microsoft is very serious about this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we tend to talk in terms of priorities, you know, and privacy and security tend to be what I like to call privacy or priority negative one. Like it literally trumps all else.
Back in my old bank days, we had priority, you know, 0 to 5, but we also had priority X, which is executive. It's like, it's like an executive says do this, you go do this, priority X.
Privacy violation would essentially just mean stop doing everything you're doing and go fix this.
I'm quite proud of how well Microsoft has executed its privacy story. It's astoundingly hard to get access to anything. Mm-hmm. Very, very few people have, human beings have access to hardly anything. Mm-hmm.
You only get the access to the thing that you need when you need it.
And then you lose it.
And then you lose it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, cool. Yeah. All right, that's a good story. I think we might end it there.
Yeah, and then we can maybe dive in more in a later episode into more detail. Thanks again, Gove, for being back on the show, and we will see you all next time. I'm not sure which camera to look at. We've got this new studio. It's all new and different. Thanks for watching, as always. Questions or comments, put them in the show notes down below or email us, defragtools@microsoft.com or defragshow@microsoft.com. I think we'll probably all get both of those.
They're the same email.
Essentially, they're the same people now. But again, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Take care.